Welcome to the Daily Devotions podcast from Confident Faith. I am Corey J. Mahler, a contributor here at Confident Faith. I will be your reader today, this Wednesday in the first week of Easter, the 3rd of April, in the year of our Lord, 2024, in the time of Easter. There are no feasts, festivals, or commemorations on the calendar today. Our readings for today are Psalm 134, Psalm 135, Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 through 35, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 39, and paragraphs 1 through 8 of Article 7 of the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord. We will close, as always, with the Lord's Prayer. Today's first reading from the Psalter is the 134th Psalm. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place, and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore. Amen. Today's second reading from the Psalter is the 135th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel as His own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from His storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate His people, and have compassion on His servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, He who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, and we will be reading the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 35. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, Let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations, as the Lord commanded Moses." So Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years, till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth of an ephah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's New Testament reading comes from the book of Hebrews, and we will be reading the 10th chapter, verses 19 through 39. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy, on the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's reading from the Book of Concord comes from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, and we will be reading Article 7, paragraphs 1 through 8. Article 7, The Holy Supper. In the opinion of some people, the comments in this article should perhaps not be included in this document. We intend to explain the articles that have been drawn into controversy among the theologians of the Augsburg Confession, when the confession was first written and presented to the emperor at Augsburg in 1530, the sacramentarians soon withdrew entirely and separated. They presented their own confession. Still, some theologians and others who boast about the Augsburg Confession have agreed in this article with the sacramentarians during the last few years. They no longer speak secretly, but partly publicly. They have labored against their own conscience to force and to pervert the Augsburg Confession, to make it entirely in harmony with the sacramentarian teaching in this article. We neither can nor should leave out our testimony by our confession of the divine truth in this document. We must repeat the true sense and proper understanding of Christ's words and of the Augsburg Confession on this article. We recognize this to be our duty. So far as we are able, by God's help, we shall preserve this pure doctrine also for posterity. We will faithfully warn our hearers, together with other godly Christians, against this deadly error, which is entirely contrary to the divine word and the Augsburg Confession, and has been frequently condemned. Status of the controversy. The chief controversy between our teaching and that of the sacramentarians in this article. Some sacramentarians strive to use words that come as close as possible to the Augsburg Confession and the form and way of speech in our churches. They confess that in the Holy Supper Christ's body is truly received by believers. Still, when we insist that they state their meaning precisely, sincerely, and clearly, they all say this in unison: Christ's true essential body and blood is absent from the consecrated bread and wine in the Holy Supper, as far as the highest heaven is from the earth. For their own words state this: We say that Christ's body and blood are as far from the signs as the earth is distant from the highest heaven. Therefore, they understand this presence of Christ's body not as a presence here on earth, but only with respect to faith. In other words, our faith is reminded and excited by the visible signs, just as it is by the word preached. It elevates itself and ascends above all heavens. It receives and enjoys Christ's body, which is present there in heaven. Yet they say they receive Christ himself, together with all his benefits, in a true and essential way, but nevertheless only in a spiritual way. For they hold that as the bread and wine are here on earth and not in heaven, so Christ's body is now in heaven and not on earth. So nothing else is received by the mouth in the Holy Supper than bread and wine. Originally, they asserted that the Lord's Supper is only an outward sign by which Christians are known. They held that nothing else is offered in the supper than mere bread and wine, which are bare signs, symbols, of Christ's absent body. When this fiction would not stand the test, they confess that the Lord Christ is truly present in his supper. They said he is present by the communication of attributes, that is, according to his divine nature alone, but not with his body and blood. Afterward, when they were forced by Christ's words to confess that Christ's body is present in the supper, they still understood and declared only a spiritual presence. They declared it was a partaking through faith of his power, through faith, efficacy, and benefits. For they say Christ's Spirit is everywhere and dwells here on earth. Therefore, through the Spirit, our bodies are united with Christ's body, which is in heaven. The result was that many noble people were deceived by these fine, praiseworthy words, when they asserted and boasted that they were of no other opinion than that the Lord Christ is present in his supper, truly, essentially, and as a living person. They understand this according to his divine nature alone, and not of his body and blood. They say his blood and body are now in heaven, and nowhere else. He gives us his true body and blood, with the bread and wine to eat, to partake of them spiritually through faith, but not bodily with the mouth. They understand the words of the supper, "Eat, this is my body," not properly, as they read, according to the letter, but as figurative expressions. So eating Christ's body means nothing other than believing. Body means a symbol, that is, a sign or figure of Christ's body. The body is not in the supper on earth, but only in heaven. The word "is" they interpret sacramentally, or in a symbolic way. They do this so that no one may think that Christ's flesh is joined with the signs and is now present on earth in an invisible way beyond our understanding. In other words, Christ's body is united with the bread sacramentally or symbolically. So believing godly Christians do partake spiritually of Christ's body, which is above in heaven, just as they eat the bread with the mouth. But they are used to cursing and condemning the following as a horrible blasphemy. Christ's body is essentially present here on earth in the supper, although invisibly and in a way beyond understanding. It is received orally with the consecrated bread, even by hypocrites or those who only appear to be Christians. This concludes our reading from the Book of Concord. I now invite all of you to join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer, one of the most ancient prayers of the Church. I do encourage you to say it aloud if you are somewhere it would be reasonable to do so, but praying it silently is, of course, also fine. The Lord knows what is in your heart. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and grace to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whatever calling has been given you, or task set before you. Until tomorrow, God be with you.